Everybody goes through stuff. If you're not going through stuff, you're in it already. Hallelujah. Not everything works the way you want. You know, I had such a great revelation one day, the other day, when we were talking about some of the things that God freed us from. And I can't tell you, I was saying, Lord, what was it? You know what? I mean, there's so many things you freed me from. And the one thing he said to me, he says, I freed you from your will. I said, oh, snap. I was freed. We're freed from our will. That's awesome. That means you don't have to figure it all out. You just got to submit and let his will be done. I remember that was a prayer he gave his disciples. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it just reminded me of such a freedom. I was freed from my will. Man, my will, the end result was death, destruction. But his will is life and life abundantly. But that's where it's important, where the word says the spirit brings life, the letter kills. See, you can know the word and still be killed. In fact, the word will kill you if you don't know the spirit. Because you can't submit to the true or fulfilled and practice the word, it will lead to death. But those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and God, sons and daughters of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is what? Freedom. This is the difference between religion. You can go to school and get all kinds of certificates. What good does it do if you're still practicing lawlessness? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We are in a time right now. Again, it's glorious to be alive. What a blessing. God has sent us here at this specific time so we can witness all this stuff. Amen? So we can tell people what God has done for us. Man, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Testimony, and we don't love our lives. Oh. We don't love our lives. We love the life of Him, but our will is no longer involved in our life. We've surrendered it. You know, that song that we just sang, New Wine. But it talks first about the crushing. You know, people like the new wine and the anointing, but they forget about you ain't getting it without being crushed. Remember, one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to kill us. You can't become new until the old is dead. And that's a constant thing for all of us. Always removing the old. And that's what the enemy likes to do, put the old in front of every area. It's our responsibility to remove it. So in this crushing, he said, you'll get a new wine will come through you. A new oil will come in you. And you'll be able to exchange your old flame for a new fire. And I believe we're entering a time where that new fire from that cloud of glory that is coming, that's partially here now, is going to increase and expand and multiply. It's going to continue to expose darkness to its glorious light. You know, demons can't handle the glory of God. When the glory of God showed up to me, that demon flew. Turned right into a physical snake, serpent. He couldn't handle it. Man, was I freed. Not only freed from the possession of serpents, but freed from my will and desires. Things that cause me to stumble. See, it's our own things that cause us to stumble. And that's where the enemy is always trying to bring you to you. He wants you to try and calculate everything out. It causes people to stumble. We're to trust all the way through, no matter what. Let him establish. Let him, the Bible says, unless we allow the Lord to what? Build the house, we what? Labor in vain. That battle is constant. It's constant. So I really believe in this time we're now, we're in a place of to restore, refresh, and renew. restore, refresh, and renew. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. They were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" I love that. Like, don't look at us like we did something. And see, this is where people want to be seen. They didn't. See, people want to manifest the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit with miracles, signs, and wonders so they can be seen. Not so that God can be seen. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him in this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets and since the world begins. Now this is powerful because he talks about two times. Times of refreshing and times of restoration. So we're in a time where restoration, because you can't restore without repentance. Amen? In restoration, there's called reconciliation. So where there's reconciliation, people must be reconciled to the Lord first through what? Repentance. Amen? And in this, there will be not only a restoration, but the refreshing will come. The refreshing will come. And this is, again, with that cloud of glory that I saw. It's going to bring restoration, refreshing, renewing. And there will be a rebuilding of God's temple. I said his temple. On earth. Everything is moving mightily. The restoration, refreshing, through the washing of the blood of Christ, and his repentance of evil, fellowship of sin, where people will be turning away. Go to Malachi chapter 3. restore, refresh, renew. It's called Revival Trinity. Hallelujah. Everyone say Revival Trinity. Restore, refresh, and renew. That's what everybody's waiting for, right? It's everybody's hungering for. Malachi 3, verse 1. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and will purify the purify of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, which are priests, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the offering in righteousness. We are the messengers to restore, refresh, and renew. Again, restore is associated with reconciliation. Refresh is in the anointing. Write it down. And renew is in rebuilding. I'm going to say it again. Restore is in reconciliation. Refresh is in the anointing. And renew is in rebuilding. Now again, he speaks of John the Baptist being the messenger. But we are now the messengers. Amen. And Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Now this is a prerequisite of what God is requiring of the body of Christ. Those that think they can just drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of what? Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In the spirit of what? Elijah. Again, we are the messengers in the spirit of Elijah now. That will increase tremendously. You know, John the Baptist came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Amen. Go to 1 Kings 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Lord, he is God. Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, and do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, then bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and he looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, seven times, he said, seven means what? Complete and perfect. Go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time. See, so many people quit. They quit the first, second, or third time. But they don't remember God's covenant and promise. Seven is complete and perfect. I don't mean go out and get married seven times. Amen? Hello. Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And Ahab went up to eat. Okay, and verse 43, on verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with the clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Can you imagine that? I mean, this was like, you know, like, did anybody ever watch the movie Hulk? You know, anyways, one step and he went, phew. I mean, Elijah was taking steps that were like a mile long. Think about that. Why? Because the Lord girded him up and took him to go before Ahab. Now, there's so much meaning in this that I can't get it all into it. Hallelujah. Here, Elijah executed over 400 and something prophets of Baal. Think about this. He executed them. Now, the prophets of Baal today, which are messengers of deception, we call the media, the elite, rich and famous, servants of Satan, all of them. They're about to be destroyed through the anointing of Elijah. We are in this time right now where that cloud of glory is coming more and more and more. That's why there's more chaos. That's why there's more lies and disruption and all kinds of things. There's more rumors than I've ever seen before. You don't think about this for a second. Our young society is dying tremendously. Sudden deaths all over the world caused by medical misuse, certain vaccines, fentanyl abuse, addiction, overdoses, illicit drugs, 80% more deaths. That's amazing. Than years before. Overdoses. That's a lot. You know, it's very possible, but by the time all of this is done calculating, we may lose a third of mankind. You know, there's so many deceptive things going on where, you know, like the transgenders and this and that. Listen, I was watching something. Disney is a land of deception, false reality. Amen? People come to bring their children because it's childlike, having no idea of the evil and wickedness behind it and the child abduction behind it. I saw a clip this morning, and here comes the mother of the fairy tales or whatever, fairy tale mother or something. And there's the it comes out, it's, you know, in all the costume. Hi, I'm the mother of fairy tale. Well, Mom, why does he have a mustache? Hello. So the mother of fairy tales has got a mustache. They showed it, man. I'm like, what the snap? Don't bring your kids to Disney. People ought to boycott it. Everyone in the body of Christ ought to boycott Disney. And those that drink, stop and quit doing Budweiser. It's butt stupid. Stop. Come out of them. The Bible says, come out from among them. Quit compromising. All of these wicked, corrupt, expose those teachers that preach ungodliness, that promote same-sex marriage. Expose it. That's our responsibility. We are the messengers. We are the forerunners. Until these things come down, nothing's going to change. And we have to bring it down. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. The Bible tells us that, go to Psalm 149. Praise the Lord, sings to the Lord a new song, and is praised in the assembly of saints. In the assembly of saints, he didn't say just by yourself. All right, there's more power in assembling. Let total freedom and true ministries rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King, and let them praise his name with a dance. Oh, man. Far be it, somebody ought to move their foot or try and get in rhythm. Sheesh. It's okay. You might not have rhythm, but the Holy Ghost will bring it. First, you got to make that step. A car don't move until you get in. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing them aloud on their beds. Well, man, you're out of bed. Now you ought to scream out. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, not low praises. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a beautiful day. Oh, boy, the powers of darkness are shaking now. You ain't got no power, no poop, nothing. No oomph. Yeah. I worship. I worship by myself intimately. No, you don't. you can't do it outwardly, you can't do it ever intimately. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let the saints sing aloud, dance, with two-edged sword in their mouth. To do what? Execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. This is an honor that is granted to the saints. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how many people don't use that honor. We've been granted that honor. Amen? 1 Kings 19, verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So these three, God tells Elijah to go and anoint. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Now you got to remember, these are prophets of the Lord. Amen? But they weren't casting out demons then. Hello? So they had to kill people that carried them. Think about it. It's what was going on. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, and all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth has not kissed him. So we see that these three were anointed. They were chosen in power from the Holy Spirit. Now go to 2 Kings 9 in verse 30. Verse 30, it says, and now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Now Jezebel is a spirit of controlling. And Jezebel was the same spirit of the harlot of Babylon. Is everybody with me? So, the battle has always been between Elisha, and Jezebel. It was the anointing between God's anointed and the anointing of the enemy. Then Jehu entered the gate, and she said, is it peace, Zamari, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window and saw who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him through the window. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And I hope you're not going to breakfast right away. Okay. And when he had done, and when he had gone in, he ate and drank. I guess it didn't bother him at all. Well, he was obedient to the Lord, right? And he said, go now, see to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So he was still respecting the position. So they went out to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore, they came back, and they told him, they said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of the ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. So fulfillment of prophecy came about. And the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuge on the surface of the field in the plot of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. Wow. They were not going to give her any space. And this is where our battle is right now. This is what's going on. We are the messengers and the forerunners of the return of the Lord now. Just like John the Baptist was the forerunner of the return of Jesus when he first came. But there's a second coming of the Lord. And we are the forerunners. And we will be in the spirit of Elijah. To combat who? Jezebel. The spirits of Jezebel that have now taken place in positions in governmental and political and judicial and education and so forth. Listen, and it's not just female, it's male. So many people think, well, Jezebel is only female. No, that's not true. It's male and female. Is everybody okay? Jezebel is a harlot of Babylon, the world system of government, economic, medical, education, medical, media, pharmaceutical, military, transportation, all of them. That's what the multiple heads on the serpent are. And will be destroyed so restoration can come by the reconciliation to Christ and refreshing of the anointing and renewing of things to be rebuilt. And this is going to happen globally. Now, we need to go somewhere. Jeremiah 30, in verse 18. Again, nothing can be rebuilt unless it's first what? Destroyed. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to his own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and a voice of those who make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near. He shall approach me, for who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord. Everyone say whirlwind. Goes forth with fury. A continuing whirlwind. Say continuing. Whirlwind. it will fall violently on the head of the wicked. Remember I shared about the three whirlwinds. The first one comes to tear away, to open, expose all hidden places. That's what's continuing now. They will continue. The second whirlwind comes to release strategy, the anointing, the glory, provision, taking out of the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous. We're in that right now, but it's slow. Wish it would move faster, but it is what it is. It's happening right now. Then the whirlwind comes and takes the bride away. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the what? Latter days, you will consider it. Are we in the latter days? Yes. Yes. 2 Kings chapter 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? So he answered, he says, I know. Shut up. Keep quiet. In other words, he didn't want any interference. He didn't want to be distracted because he knows. And this is why the enemy's in so much distraction right now against the body of Christ. Because he knows that if we're not in position to receive the second mantle, we won't get it. And many people are not in position. Oh, hallelujah. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, what? Anyways, go to verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them could cross over on dry land. And so it was when they had crossed over, everyone say crossover. Oh, snap. That Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Distractions. Then it happened as they continued on that and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a what? Whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. I'm telling you, that anointing, that second anointing that's about to be released through this cloud of glory, many people, you're going to cross over into another dimension like you've never done before. You are going to see things like you've never seen before. We have been waiting for this. It's something that's been within us for so long. And it's been crying out, when? Just like John the Baptist, who was in the wilderness. He cried out in the wilderness. He cried out for the hearts to be turned, but he cried out for the presence of God. The body of Christ, those who are right with God, are crying out for the presence of God, knowing that we're nothing without the presence of God. Oh, the second mantle. We thirst and hunger for that second mantle. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Does everybody understand why we need this anointing to overcome Babylon? That's why we need it. See, people are still getting sucked up in the system of Babylon and don't even realize it. They're still being misled. But God always prepares us. He always warns us. Hallelujah. 2 Pete. It's around here somewhere. Here we go. Chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Pete, chapter 1, verse 2. Is everybody there? Let's speak of grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, our Lord. His divine power, which is his anointing, has given to us all things that pertain to this life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Listen, this is how you live from the future. You live off his promises. That through these you may partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12. The divine nature hasn't even fully been manifested yet. Why? Because it takes the second mantle to fulfill the divine nature. Is everybody with me? In other words, there's the anointing within, but then there's the anointing that comes on. Amen. We carry the character of Christ and the divine nature of Christ, but it's not reached its fullness. It's not reached what we call the master's level. It can only reach the master's level when the second mantle comes. Oh, glory. Hebrew. I am excited about what's about to happen. And I don't want to miss it. I don't care if you have to lock yourself in the closet till it comes. Just make sure you assemble. Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. Hello? As the things that are not. That the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. Listen, without the anointing, you're going to be shaken right out of position. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a what? Consuming fire. I'm going to close this 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. Again, it is a time to restore, refresh, and renew. Restorers are associated in reconciliation, repentance. Salvation refreshes through the anointing and renews through rebuilding. Amen. But you can't rebuild something or restore something unless it's been first destroyed. Again, same thing with that song we were singing, new wine. Everybody wants new wine. Everybody wants the fire of God. But when they step on the potter's wheel and the fire comes, they run. I just want the blessing of it. No, there's no blessing without the sacrifice. Amen? God is crushing his children to produce new wine and new oil. Why? So we can remove the old fire, amen, the old flame for a new fire and prepare us. See, he don't come until we get thirsty and hungry. We draw his presence because we're thirsty, not because we just sing. See, you can just sing and no presence will come. But when you sing because you're singing to him from your heart, you're not just singing to sing. You're praising and worshiping him. You're honoring him. Now you're getting this attention. Now he draws near to you as you have been drawing near to him. There's a difference. If you're not in love with him, but you love him, you need to fall in love with him. The reason why you're not in love with him is because you lack the level of presence of God. I know a lot of people say they love the Lord, but they're heathens. They're still doing the wrong things. They're really not pleasing to God. Listen, there's a handful of people here. You can take what God has given you today and change the world. It's all it takes. It's all it takes. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's time to man up and woman up. Stand up for what is right and true. Get your eyes off yourself and your own successes. Get your eyes on his purpose for his glory. Amen. Praise God. Father, we are honored and blessed. We thank you for your word. You are awesome and true, and there is none like you, Papa. None like you. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound abundantly. And restore us. Refresh us. Renew us. And your love and power in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God.